Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Today's going to be a real special show. I'm looking forward to this one for quite a while. And we have a couple of guests. And our first guest is Rabbi Bernstein. Did I get that right?
Pearlstein.
Pearlstein. Where did I get Bernstein?
Because, you know. They all sound alike. Don't worry. You know, growing up Jewish, I was called a whole lot worse.
Yeah. Well, we are going to talk for the next hour about something that I've been reading up on this more and more, and it's just it was such a horrible time in the world. And we're talking about the Holocaust. You brought in a special guest. Would you like to do the introduction?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. This is our fourth Holocaust event that we are doing, a Holocaust speaker event that we're doing here in Salem. The Chabad Center for Jewish Life, which is what I run, we're primarily a educational center. We find it important to bring Holocaust education to the Salem area. And today...
Why is that so important?
It's a part of history that today... The world is very willing to forget. If we forget what took place just 70, 80 years ago, we're unfortunately bound to repeat itself, for it to repeat itself. And I think that with a lot that's going on in our country today, the world as a whole, I think as a whole, we're getting better generally, but there are forces at play that are willing to push fear and division and things of that nature, which is what ultimately led to the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, and everyone else that was killed along with that in leading up to World War II, the Nazi Holocaust. And if we don't learn the lessons from back then, we might see a history that we won't be very proud of in the near future too. So bringing education to Salem and the world is necessary to stop that from, God forbid, ever happening.
Several years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. I took my son there. He was just graduated the seventh grade, and we went through the Holocaust Museum there. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I left after about 15, 20 minutes there because I was, I don't want to say disgusted with what I was seeing. I was just so
horrified.
Yes. That yeah. people could do this to other people.
Yep.
I mean, my God, we're all human beings for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And to see that happen, it just hurt. And I was there with 45 students, seventh grade students. Afterwards, when they all got on the bus, total silence.
Yep.
Nobody was saying anything. And I said to my son, I go, what did you think? He goes, Dad, that was horrible. He says, that was simply horrible.
But like you realize the potency and the importance of
yeah.
it. Because of that experience.
Very much.
You know, if kids at that age see what humanity is capable of, I think one really important thing that people don't talk about is that the further we get away from the Holocaust, people are saying is that, yeah, well, the Nazis were monsters. They were driven by an evil that we don't understand. I take serious whatever the word is with that, you know. They were not monsters. They were the elite of their generation. They were thinkers. They were doctors. They were inventors. They were scientists. They were leaders. They were politicians. They were from the highest class of society that because they allowed fear and racism to play such a huge role, hatred to play such a huge role in their life and their makeup, they ended up doing the worst things that humanity has ever seen done to other human beings.
For people that maybe have not followed up on that, I don't even want to get real graphic on what they did, but it was just horrible, horrible things that they were doing to their brothers and sisters.
Yep.
Just horrible.
Exactly.
So you brought a special guest in, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. Who's your guest?
So our guest today is Jonah Lacks. Jonah Lacks is a Holocaust survivor, but she also has a unique story amongst Holocaust survivors. I mean, my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. Their story fits more with a typical Holocaust survivor. Jonah, though, is one of 200 twins that survived. There were 1,500 pairs of twins, so 3,000 twins that were, during selection in Auschwitz, separated because they were twins, and then they were, and then these twins were experimented on by Joseph Mengele, which was known as the angel of death in Auschwitz, the chief doctor of Auschwitz, and in the name of science, tested on people like Jonah and their siblings, and then compared one that was tested and the other one that has the same genetics that wasn't tested on, and see what the differences were. So he specifically targeted twins. After all of these tests were done, of the 1,500 peers, 100 were left, 200 survivors. Jonah is one of those few.
Jonah, first of all, welcome. It is so wonderful to see you and to meet you. And we welcome you here to our studios here. Can I ask you a question? And I know it's not polite to ask a woman her age, but how old are you?
I'm 89.
89 years young.
I was 9 years old when the war broke out.
Okay. Can you take us back, go back in time, and tell me about your upbringing first? Maybe the first few years that you remember. Can you tell me where you lived and who you lived with and a little bit about your upbringing?
I shall start from the beginning of the war, actually, because September 1, 1939, when the outbreak of the war, I was on my way from vacation to get back to my city where I was living and born to start schooling. And already on the way, we noticed the Polish army defeated. And so we understood that war actually broke out. We got back to our homes, and after a week or two, they came out the new orders, restrictions. The first restriction was for the Jewish population to wear the yellow badges in the front and at the back.
What is that?
The yellow badge, badge is the Jewish sign. It's the sign of Judaism.
Okay.
The Jewish star.
Okay.
In
Jewish
yellow.
Sign.
Okay.
We were not permitted to go outside on the road later than at 5 o'clock p.m. We were then locked in, and no Jew was permitted to be around. At social places like coffee houses, theaters, or other places, there were signs saying Jews and dogs are not permitted in. And then after some, obviously, education was not possible anymore. We were not permitted to attend or to get education of any sort. And so after a short while, it was proclaimed that all the Jews have to leave their housing, their professions, and need to go to the ghetto lodge, which became the ghetto. It was the oldest section of the town, very old, shabby, and not too big. And all the Jews were there concentrated and then closed hermetically. We got no information what was going on in the entire world.
Okay. How old were you then?
I was then 10.
10 years old?
When getting into the ghetto.
Okay. How big was your family? Did you have brothers, sisters, parents?
I had brothers and sisters. My father and three sisters were killed, exterminated in the camp so-called Chano, which was
Extermination camp. Okay.
On Poland soil. It started by that the ghettos became overcrowded. Since they brought into ghetto lodge the Jews from all around, from all the countries around, and all was concentrated in ghetto lodge. And so naturally it was very overcrowded. Conditions were horrible. Food was rationed, impossible. Illnesses cropped up, various illnesses, and then the Germans apparently were very concerned if those illnesses that started in the ghetto might be transferred or passed over into the town. And they tried to find a solution for this purpose. But in Ghetto Lodz, actually, all the population was used for forced labor. Labor, any kind of section. It meant that actually the entire German army and the German population in Germany were provided with a product which the Ghetto Lodz Jews produced. And therefore, they were very interested to keep up with that ghetto. And actually, Ghetto Lodz was the longest lasting ghetto, Poland, Germany.
How many people would be in this ghetto? How many?
Ghetto Lodz had probably 345, around 300,000.
300,000? Mm-hmm. 300,000.
Wow. And crammed in into small.
Not only from Lodz, but from the entire vicinity in Europe.
Can I go back a little bit and ask you, you said that you had three sisters and a brother?
I had two more sisters, and I will soon explain what happened to them.
Okay. All right, then we'll do that. When we get on to the next break, you can explain what happened, because I want to know why something happened to them, but yet it didn't happen to you. Okay.
The first stage?
Yeah. Sure.
In the ghetto?
Yes.
When the ghetto started to become overcrowded, and the Germans were eager or were afraid that the illnesses that cropped up in the ghetto would pass over to the other Aryan non-Jewish population, they tried to find a solution. And they decided to shorten, to get less people, and to send transport to another camp, and the way they did it was actually they would come the German army, the German SS officers requested all the Jewish population, all the Jewish population, to get down on the street, and they would decide upon who is to remain in the ghetto and whom to send to extermination camps.
Based on what? How would they make that decision?
Well, nobody ever knows. It's just what they decided. Well, probably they wanted the more healthy people to keep them still alive in order to get their production.
Right.
And all the others were sent. At that time, my father feared that me and my twin, the last of the family, were meant not to go through this selection, so forth.
Okay. Unfortunately, we have to take a break because we're fighting up against the clock. But when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, okay? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is going to get real interesting. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
This segment of The Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. All aboard the Willamette Queen at the Salem Riverfront Park in downtown Salem. Enjoy a riverboat experience reminiscent of the days when travel on the Willamette River was only by steam-powered sternwheel boats. Relive Oregon's historic past while enjoying elegant dining and a relaxing, leisurely voyage. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion cruise, they're open year-round. Call for more details, 503-371-1103. That number again for the Willamette Queen is 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen. Thank you.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
And like a good
Shopping for car insurance? Get the very best coverage with State Farm agent Teresa Lule in Salem. State Farm keeps you and your family covered with great auto insurance that's also a great value. Visit online at teresalule.com or on Facebook. Better yet, stop in the offices at 890 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem or call 503-378-1100.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today is a very special show. Our guest includes Rabbi Perlstein. Got it right this time.
Nice.
I'm telling you. And a young lady named Jonah, is it Locks?
Locks.
And you are a Holocaust survivor. When we were talking just a few minutes ago, you were telling us that your dad was real concerned that your family might be splitting up. Is that what I understand?
Right.
Okay. What happened?
And so he decided and put us on top of a cupboard.
Okay.
So I pushed that to the wall and covered us with bottles.
Okay.
Bottles
okay.
We had at home. Because the German officers would walk up to room from room to try to locate, to find if anybody is hiding.
Wow.
So at this action, my father and three sisters have been taken on a transport to Chelmno, which was the first extermination camp on Polish soil.
Did they know where they were going?
They did not know, neither did we know.
Okay.
Actually, nobody knew. They went over there and obviously did not come back. Nobody knew where and when, but one day a train came back from Chelmno with clothes of those of the people who had been sent to Chelmno. And only then we found out what Chelmno was and where they went to. So obviously they did not come back.
Why did they not take you? Why did you stay?
I was on the cupboard.
So they didn't find you.
I didn't go down to the appeal. And when the German officers walked up, they didn't catch us. So
wow.
As if to say, they didn't found us. And so we got through, whereas father and the sisters, they were downstairs for that action.
What about your mother?
My mother passed away just before the camps were erected.
Okay.
She couldn't do it, but she died naturally, heart attack, couldn't take it. That was 1941. In Chelmno, it needs to be mentioned, there were no crematorium yet effectively used, erected, I don't know. And so the people were brought to Chelmno on guest vans, so that there were guests on the vans. And they were brought dead to Chelmno, and over there they were minced and put to mass graves.
They were put in mass graves.
From Chelmno, actually, nobody came back. This is one of the reasons that really very many people did not know about Chelmno for a long, long time.
Wow.
All the people who had been brought to Chelmno were exterminated. And here comes a very unfortunate story. The mints that minced the bodies of the persecuted people was produced by the Jews in Ghetto Lodz.
What?
That became known quite recently. It was a huge mincer, just like a meat mincer, I don't know.
Right.
Grinder.
And it was produced, it was a production of the Jewish prisoners of Ghetto Lodz. I guess, I'm sure, they too did not know what it is for and what it meant. They did not know, I'm sure of that. In 1942, there was in Germany, Berlin, at the Wannsee Conference, a German conference, where it was decided for the final solution of the Jewish population. It was then decided that all the Jewry from entire Europe, from all the countries, must be murdered and wiped out.
Who made that decision? Who said that?
That decision was made at Wannsee Conference with the so-called German SS Himmler.
Okay.
Himmler. And they began...
And Eichmann, no? Eichmann was part of that as well?
Eichmann was part. Himmler was dictating. Eichmann executed.
Carried it out.
Carried it out.
Unbelievable. We're gonna need to take a short break here. I apologize for this, but we've got to take a break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Again, a short break. We'll be back in just a moment.
When all was dark and all was sad and all my strength almost spent, every day like the next, every breath might be the last. A time so bleak, the body weak, despair is rising everywhere, the pain too deep, too numb to weep, couldn't bear it anymore.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. But check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection. We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. And today we're talking about an unfortunate time in our lives, the Holocaust. And I have with us a survivor of the Holocaust, as well as Rabbi Pearlstein. And I'm going to see, I'm getting your name right here.
Terry, you're a quick learner.
I'm telling you. pick it up from where we left off.
Right. So Jonah's here talking about, she just finished talking about how life was in the Lodz ghetto. Selection that took place, that her father hid her and her siblings, two sisters, behind a bookshelf, basically, and covered them with bottles so the German soldiers wouldn't find them. But that ended up meaning that her sisters, three sisters and father, went down to selection and ended up going to an extermination camp, and she never saw them again. So we're going to talk now, Jonah's going to share about how she ended up going from the Lodz ghetto and going to Auschwitz, the infamous or famous location where so many Jews, European Jews, ended up either for and their face selection of going to the gas chambers and it being exterminated, or going to work for the Germans under harsh conditions.
Where is Auschwitz at? Where is that located?
Pardon?
Where is Auschwitz?
Where is Auschwitz?
Auschwitz was near the river Sola.
In Poland.
It was in Poland.
Okay.
All the camps were erected in Poland. At that stage, the Germans decided to liquidate the ghettos and to send them to concentration camps. I went to Auschwitz by almost the last transport, almost. I was then with my twin sister, Miriam, and my elderly sister, Hannah. And as we arrived to Auschwitz, I were pushed down to the roll. We had to form lines and stand for a selection. And then Mengele, who was mainly in charge of performing those selections.
This was that doctor?
Yeah. Doctor.
Okay, okay. All right.
He came up to make this selection. I had stayed before in Ghetto Lodz, great hunger, sickness, undeveloped. And here again, Hannah was sure that I won't go through this selection. So she pushed me to the back row. She turned around. She pinched my cheeks to make me look brighter. She took off her wooden shoes and pushed them under my feet to make me look taller. And nevertheless, Mengele came upon. He was bored already. And he pointed out, left, right, left, right. The people haven't been sent to the right were those who were supposed to enter Auschwitz and for further labor, forced labor. All the others were sent directly to the crematorium to be exterminated immediately. And I went. I went towards the crematorium.
You did? You went there?
Me, myself. Yes, I was sent to the left.
Okay.
We were ordered to run. We didn't know where we were going to. But eventually, we could see already the flames coming out of the chimney. We could even feel the burnt flesh. Only then I really realized where I'm going to. Back there, my sister Hannah and my twin Miriam went to the right. So they have undergone a procedure for going into the camp. That is to take off the hair, take away their clothes, obviously, and tattoo it. To get tattoo it, what you call, and tattoo it. Nobody could have entered the camp of Auschwitz without having a number, because we were not called by names. We were only called by numbers. Some of the young people.
How old were you then?
I was 13.
About 13?
Hannah instantly bent down to the earth and cried out that Miriam and Jonah are twins. Please leave them together, because as such they've never been departed before. And when Mengele heard that we were twins, he sent a German officer to bring me back from the row, from the crematorium, leading to the crematorium. He wanted me as an additional pair of guinea pigs for his notorious experiments. And so I was brought back and saved from immediate death. They kept us for 2 days, and then Mengele had sent us to the, joined us to the rest of the twins for his doings, whereas Hanna was sent directly to a forced labor camp out of Auschwitz.
Did you ever see Hanna again?
We have never seen Hanna again. Hanna did not know who Mengele was, and she did not know what he was doing. And we stayed in Auschwitz, Miriam and I. Mengele would collect us 3 times a week to bring all the twins together to a barrack, a house, number 10, which is up to date, closed, and not open to the visitors, up to date. And with us, there was also a Jewish family of dwarfs, parents and 7 children, all dwarfs. Mengele had interested in them as well. So on the days when he came to collect all of us, he also took, or they brought, that family, the dwarf family as well. And I can now remember that when we were brought together, they took us on lorries to the main so-called hospital. I don't know how to name it. It was no hospital. And the dwarves were unable to walk up the lorries because they had such short legs.
Right.
The Germans used to bring groups of German soldiers for recreation to see how they jump, how they could not get up to those lorries. I instantly walked up and offered my hand and told them to step on my hands, and so I pushed them up. And yes, so we were experimented together with them almost all the time, I believe.
How long did this last?
It lasted till January 1944, when Auschwitz was liquidated. A German officer came on street and announced that everybody, everyone, should go down and join the march because Auschwitz was going to be bombed. So everyone went down and joined that march, which was called the March of Death. As I said, it was January. It had probably been an extremely cold winter, without clothes, of course, wooden shoes, no socks. We were all driven out. Not many people survived from that death march because we had to run quickly and people couldn't do it. And they would be shot instantly on the spot if they didn't follow the way they wanted to. How much have I left? I don't know what to put in and what to squeeze in and what not.
The kids were on the death march as well? You guys were children at the time, right? The twins. You all went on the death march as well?
Well, most of the smallest twins actually had passed away in Auschwitz.
Hmm.
They couldn't.
It were the teens that survived.
They couldn't. We were among the youngsters, but previously they were much younger ones. Mm-hmm. But they passed away. They couldn't do it.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. This is an incredible show today. Our show today is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Stirwheeler and the Lule Group. Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Again, back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
This segment of the Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. All aboard the Willamette Queen at the Salem Riverfront Park in downtown Salem. Enjoy a riverboat experience reminiscent of the days when travel on the Willamette River was only by steam-powered sternwheel boats. Relive Oregon's historic past while enjoying elegant dining and a relaxing leisurely voyage. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion cruise. They're open year-round. Call for more details, 503-371-1103. That number again for the Willamette Queen is 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen.
To the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest has been Rabbi Perlstein and Jonah, is it Locke? Did I say it right? Locke?
Nice.
Okay, she is a survivor from the Holocaust. And when we last stopped, we were about 1944, 1945. That's pretty much when it ended, at the end of the war, right?
Right.
And then what happened to you after the war? Where did you go? You were in Germany when the war ended?
I must go back a wee bit.
Okay.
Back.
Okay.
We were in Germany. Once arriving to Germany, we were driven from one camp to another one.
Okay.
They were all becoming filled up from all those camp inmates from all over Europe, in England, Poland especially.
Okay.
And so we were driven, and I went next to Auschwitz, to Ravensbrück, and from Ravensbrück to Malchow, taking out the one of the illness, to Malchow. At Malchow, as Himmler had ordered that no prisoner is to fall into the Allied hands. And so, although the war was almost over, they still took us out from Malchow on a march further to Germany. And our destination actually was to the Baltic Sea to be drowned.
So their intention was to drown you?
Pardon?
Their intention was to drown you?
Their intention
to drown
was
us so that we should not fell into the hands of the Allied.
So the Germans are in serious retreat because the war is, they're losing it.
It's winding down, right.
But the prisoners is all they have left to hang on to, and they don't want the world to learn about the atrocities that they've done. So they tried, they destroyed a lot of the barracks. They destroyed the parts of the concentration camps, like the gas chambers. They tried to do everything they can to erase evidence. Here they have thousands of inmates that are coming from all over their concentration camps to the deeper strongholds that they still had in Germany to try and get them to a spot where they can kill them all out so that nobody actually talks to the Allied forces.
Unbelievable.
During that march, the German officers, soldiers, who escorted us, would lock us in every evening and nail the spot, the place, wherever, to enable any escape from anyone to escape. We could hear the bombing. We understood that war is coming to an end, but obviously we could do nothing about it. We were not afraid. We were actually happy, thinking that eventually something is changing and maybe this is the end of the war.
Okay, so let's move forward because of our time here. So in 1945, the war ended. What happened to you? Where did you go then?
And then we ended in Germany, on the streets, unprotected, undriven, alone. Obviously, no money, nothing. And we began, the first thing, actually, the ex-prisoners befell on food, try to get some food. That was the first thing. And they've eaten anything they came across with. And unfortunately, at that time, very many ex-prisoners died because they couldn't digest the food was possible to them. And then came out the mayor of the town and announced that anybody who is not German is not that should leave the country and go back to his own country. And so the rows were performed and people started walking again, hopefully to get somewhere, to get out of Germany. And we were walking. Us personally wanted to reach Lodz, our town where we lived. With us, there were few more girls our age, more or less, maybe somewhat older, who did not remember their addresses and they did not know how and where to get back to their homes. And so I invited them to come with me, knowing that I remember my address, and said to them they should come and stay with us. And so we got to Lodz. It's a long chapter how we got there. And we arrived, and there was no help by nobody at that time. The Jewish organizations had not yet been effective, so we were homeless. So right in the morning, I took the few girls we were with. I made them stand across, and I went up to the house where I lived before the war. I walked up, I rang the bell once, twice, it wouldn't open. For the third time, I probably rang very strongly. Came up a voice, furious, "What do you want? Why do you come here?" And so I said, before the war, I lived here. I would like to get to my home. She closed the phone, put down, and gave me no answer, and did not open the door. And so what do I do? And I felt very responsible for the girls I took with. And we had to, there was no other option than to go again on the street. So I went back and I said, "I'm going to try once again." I rang the bell. She must have heard. She didn't say anything. She came down, opened the door, looked at me, and she said, "You survived?" I was young. I was shocked. I was afraid. I ran away. We all ran away. And we became homeless again. And we walked the streets of Lodz day and night. And we talked between us, what next, what are we going to do? No money, no food, no roof over our head. And suddenly a lady turned round and she called me by my Polish name, and Miriam, Tosha Marysia. And I was surprised. And it happened that she was our teacher from before the war. She heard our story and she told us to remain on the spot. And she said that she possesses a cellar in another house. She's ready to give us the key of that cellar. We were all obviously very happy to get the key and to enter the cellar. And she told us, "It's dirty, it's full, filthy, it has no furniture. You won't be able to use it." And we said, "No, we will gladly get it, at least that we have a roof over our head." And so we really entered that cellar. And to that cellar, we used to bring in all the newcomers to Lodz who did not have any other place to get into. And they all stayed until they found a way out to settle somehow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're just about out of time, Rabbi.
Yeah, so we got to wrap it up. And, you know, Jonah's been so gracious with her time and her storytelling. It's got to be so hard sometimes to go back and relive some of these stories, to be able to tell them with such passion and concern. I spoke to Jonah on the way here. She's actually in the process of writing her story down, and nice. Perhaps it will be published at some point, right? Bezrat Hashem, God willing, it will be published. So if anyone wants additional information about our efforts to bring more Holocaust survivors to Salem and eventually let everyone know when Jonah's book is published, they can reach us at www.jewishsalem.com. It's as easy as that. The Chabad Center for Jewish Life, we're here to help if we can. And thank you for the opportunity.
Jonah, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being here. And you're a remarkable person, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 11 a.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always check out our podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I would love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. Hope to see you next time. Take care. Be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.